Have you ever encountered a hurdle with launching or growing your business? Listen, there are two things that run a business, the back end and your soft skills.
Telling you right now, if these aren't in place, you'll lose clients and you'll lose money. You don't want that? Well, you're in the right place.
Hey, I'm Dana.
Hey, I'm Sarah.
We're your hosts of the Entrepreneur Encounter, and we're going to give you a behind-the-scenes glance into our businesses, give you genuine feedback, tips and tricks, plus occasionally bring on guests that care about supporting you to grow your business organically and nurturing authentic relationships. Are you ready?
Welcome back to another episode. We are your hosts, Sarah and
Dana.
We have talked about time management in the past, and it's discussed a lot, both personally and professionally. Do you realize that trying to do several things at one time or dividing our attention impacts our ability to perform even simple tasks? The more we multitask, the less we are able to accomplish. Sure, we can say that we do multitask, but more often than not, it can have a negative impact. And to help with this conversation about time management and multitasking, we have Dr. Dan. He is a neuroscientist turned brain coach, which I thought was pretty cool. He uses neuroscience to help professionals and others develop core life skills so they can master their brain and hit goals. Dan, can you go ahead and dive into a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for the introduction, Sarah. And thank you, Dana, as well for having me here. Yeah, so I'm a trained neuroscientist. I got my PhD researching addiction, which of course has a ton to do with how we spend our time and how we use our habits and our brains. And since getting my PhD, I transitioned into becoming a brain coach, like you said, because what I really wanted to do was help people with neuroscience instead of just writing papers or grants about it. I wanted to find ways to take what we know about it and really help people apply it to their lives. This all kind of started one day when I was riding my bike home and I realized it's so weird and kind of messed up, really, how athletes, they need their body to be in top shape for them to succeed. So they have coaches, they have trainers, they have all these tools. But most of us, we just need our mental game to be top notch. And we don't have any coaches for that. We don't have any helpers for that. We don't have any good tools that are really built around how our brains work. And so that's why I became a brain coach. I wanted to help people master their brain. And in my business, I'm also developing tools to help people do that. So I totally understand the entrepreneurship side of things. It's a struggle. It's a thrill. It's all of those things. Essentially, I just hope that I can use what I know through my training as a neuroscientist and a brain coach and help upgrade people's brain, including with time management.
That is really interesting because I was looking on your website and just kind of seeing what you're all about. And there's something that caught my eye to what you just said, saying that anything related to self-help, it all seemed like woo-woo, feel good nonsense that wouldn't actually do any good. Like when you're talking about neuroscience and brain coach, because obviously there's like different coaches out there, life coaches and business coaches. I don't know if it's more trendy now than it used to be because there's coaches from years and years ago, but how does what you do, like set you apart from the other life coaches because it all seems woo-woo to you? A lot of coaches just kind of do mindsets work with entrepreneurs and professionals and just individuals, but what is neuroscience? What's the difference?
I do want to clarify, first of all, I don't think all self-help is woo-woo now. Growing up, I just thought it was all ridiculous. Now, I think pockets are ridiculous, right? There's always these things that are based off of pseudoscience or based off of absolutely nothing, and they just help you to feel good and call that self-help, which is fine. I mean, there's definitely some benefit to just feeling better about yourself and feeling good and all that. So I feel like most coaches do is genuine, it's helpful, but it lacks sometimes this substance of like, how can we really use things that work with our brain? And by that, I mean, first of all, how can we use our neuroscience knowledge to design programs that work with how your brain work? For example, if you take a normal online course and something like that, that is not designed at all with how our brains work. Our brains weren't designed to just stare passively at a screen, hear some words coming at us, or maybe read some text in this online course, and then magically change. That's we won't even remember what we learned. We probably won't even finish the course because it's so unengaging, and you're definitely going to struggle to apply it. And so those kind of traditional self-help methods often just aren't designed with according to how our brain works. And then the things that they teach people too can be helpful, but some of it's just placebo effect. You know, it's kind of positive vibes in a sense, which is, again, is fine, but we can do better than that. We know enough about the brain that we can use that to design specific exercises, to design specific behavioral modification plans, tools and resources and exercises that really help change our brain because they're designed according to how it really works best.
Yeah, well, everybody's brain works differently. And this whole show is about soft skills and why it's important for both your personal and professional life. It is kind of like self-help. Everybody's brain is different. So depending on who you talk to, it's how you teach them.
That's something that stood out to me as I was looking at your website, is your brain is hard to understand and harder to master. Everyone learns differently in their own way. Everyone has their own way of understanding and applying things. So with the soft skill focus, do you have a system or a technique that you use to kind of help guide professionals?
Yeah, and what you said is so accurate. I mean, first of all, all of our brains are so unique and we need personalized approaches if we're going to be able to master it. If somebody just tells you, hey, this works on everyone, yeah, that's probably not true. So what I try to do is I cater both my coaching and then I'm also translating that into more self-led programs, but I try to cater into breaking down where someone's biggest bottleneck is. I call it my tribe high, but it's essentially the three aspects of soft skills that we need to build depending on where our brain is being held back. So those three are, first of all, psychological things. A lot of life coaches do those kind of things. Identify your fears and your mindsets, yeah, that are holding you back and all those kind of things that I'm sure you guys are familiar with. But I also help clients with the physiological aspect of their brain. So that's like your actual physical brain state. And that's affected by stress and sleep. So we can work on quality of sleep, diet, exercise, use of like any drugs or supplements and all those kind of things that really drastically affect your brain state. And if your brain state is really affected, that's going to affect everything you do. And then the last one being cognitive mental techniques. And so this is where I think most coaches really don't get into it very much. It's all about how can we use techniques that have proven to work in order to boost things like time management, focus, learning and memory, habit formation, motivation. And by becoming aware of these techniques and applying it to your life, that can be totally transformational in a way that you couldn't get from just boosting your psychology. But it depends on the person. Some people, we just need to work on their psychology. Other people mostly work on techniques. Other people on their physical brain state.
Well, yeah, like we said before, it's all connected and everybody's different on how they do things, especially with time management. Mm-hmm. If you're getting things done, if you can focus and do whatever technique works for you and your brain, then, you know. But yeah, time management is definitely important, especially for those that are doing multiple things at once.
Yep.
You know, if you're running a business or if you're raising a family, have another job, there's so many aspects of our life that you have to figure out the best time management technique for yourself.
For sure. Yeah, like I'm an entrepreneur, father of two. Just finished a PhD not that long ago, and you have to figure out how to balance all that.
I had a client one time. She hired me specifically just to help her with her calendar because she had her own business. She was the CEO of a nonprofit. She was getting her PhD. She was pregnant at the time and already had one or two children. I can't honestly remember, and was married. So I was like, when do you talk to your husband? How do you talk to your children?
Oh, gosh.
What does your house look like?
Or sleep?
I was like, I can't believe you're still functioning. But that's all she wanted me to do is I met with her once a week and I created essentially almost like a wedding planning timeline. But it was of all of her calendars so that we could reprioritize things every day of that week coming forward. I could not imagine her time management. It was very inspiring, but also exhausting just talking to her.
That's insane. That's crazy. Yeah, I feel like sometimes we need the accountability too, because I know Dana and I feed off of each other with certain things that we're working on. Although we have a set schedule, like we still need that
reminder,
motivation, the reminder like, hey, this is going on this week. Like,
that's something actually I remember from our pre-recording call, Dan, is you talked about motivation and how your brain only cares about two things. Can you kind of elaborate on how that ties in to your coaching and helping entrepreneurs and professionals achieve their goals?
Yeah, definitely. That's a great link, because when we are using our brains and mastering our brains, we do discover how interconnected everything is. So if you're talking about time management, yes, there's all these little like calendar and planning and prioritizing tools and tricks you can use. But often what's going to change your time management the most is something that's not time management hacks or anything like that itself, but more something tangential, like you're saying, your motivation. Because if you're not motivated, it doesn't matter how well your calendar is organized or anything like that, because you're just not going to do things. Like, I've experienced this myself, plan things, and then I just don't do them because I'm not motivated. So if we're trying to fill our time well or actually complete our plans, reach our goals, then motivation is so key. And as you mentioned, what the neuroscience teaches us is that the motivational systems in your brain really only care about two things. And they're both mediated by dopamine and those same systems. But one is pain, avoiding pain, and the other is seeking pleasure. And ultimately, if you have something that's painful in any way, like it brings physical, emotional, mental discomfort of any type, your brain tells you to avoid that because pain was a signal of danger. And so, of course, your brain wants to avoid anything that's painful. And the opposite is that pleasure is a signal that something is going to help you survive or reproduce, of course. And anything that brings us pleasure in any sense motivates our brain to do that. And so when we're trying to master our time management, we really want to think about, how can I arrange things? How can I choose things? How can I set up my environment and my internal environment as well to reduce pain and maximize pleasure of whatever we need to do? Whatever you want to put on your calendar because you feel like it's the thing you need to be doing, you want to find ways to reduce how painful that thing is to you, make it simpler, make it more fun, and maximize the pleasure. Sometimes we just need to focus on aspects that we like that they already exist, but we just need to focus on them more, become more aware of them. Like, oh, I just discovered how much I love problem solving when I'm trying to code, for example. Maybe you hate coding generally, but if you can love the problem solving, you need to do some coding. There you go. Or sometimes we need to add things, and that can be like, maybe like I really don't like running, but if I can add something like music that I really love, that's going to bring more pleasure.
I could not agree with that statement anymore. So pre-children, I worked for a race management company, and I quickly learned that there is not a happier group of people you want to be around at 4 or 5 in the morning as you're setting up for a race than people who run regularly. All the endorphins or what have you, like, really was inspiring. And so like I started to run because I was around them, but I am very slow and I actually do not enjoy running. I will walk forever, but I hate running. But I saw the benefits of running, so I had to find a playlist. Or when I did races on my own or with my sister, I would honestly follow the yellow line on the road. I focused on that silly yellow line. And that's what like distracted me enough from, I guess, the pain of running to get through the race was the music and following the yellow line.
Hey there, listeners. Ever feel like you're struggling to connect with customers or lead your team effectively? That's where soft skills come in.
Entrepreneur Encounter isn't just another podcast. We're a community dedicated to helping early stage entrepreneurs like you master the soft skills that make or break a business.
Technical skills are important, but without communication, collaboration, and confidence, your business might never get off the ground to the next level.
In our membership, Dana and I share actionable insights and tips to help you nurture the soft skills you need to thrive.
Give you access to bonus content, workshops, and a network of like-minded entrepreneurs who are all on the same journey.
will teach you how to boost your confidence,
become a leader who inspires and motivates your team,
navigate conflict like a pro,
to resolve disagreements without drama and build stronger relationships,
communicate clearly and concisely, get your message across, build trust, and close the deal.
If you're ready to take your business to the next level, join the circle by clicking the link in the show notes.
I think that's why people hire other people, because they don't like doing certain things in their business. Like, I'm hired to do the organization and admin stuff behind the scenes of businesses because nobody likes doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I actually enjoy doing that. It's so funny when you have those conversations and people go, you actually enjoy that? I'm like, yeah. So if you don't like that, like if you don't like it, then just give it to me. Just hire me and I will do it for you. Like, you don't have to worry about that. So I think that's why, like, a lot of the things that I do personally, I actually enjoy doing. So that's why I don't really hire out that often, is because I actually enjoy the things I do.
Right.
But if it's bringing you pain, then you need to figure out a way to not
get rid of that pain.
Yeah.
Well, and Sarah, that was my first reaction. Exactly. I'm like, wait, you like that stuff? Yeah, it's so true, because we want to delegate anything that is not our passion and not our strength. Just give it to somebody else. I actually teach a tool that I have, a whole process called the art of cutting corners, where it's essentially, how can we get rid of anything out of our schedule that's not helping us so that we can invest more energy and time in the things that do? And a big, big part of that is actually figuring out what makes you happy, right? It's just something that sometimes we don't think about. Like, do I really enjoy doing this thing? Especially with breaks, by the way. So there's kind of a common misconception that a break is just not working. Like, if I just veg on my phone on the couch, that's a good break. But again, by knowing neuroscience, we can question that and say, well, actually, what happens in your brain in that situation? You get stimulated. It's actually stimulating to your brain. It brings up emotions and some stressors and digesting a lot of images and sounds and all these things that make it so that's not really recharging your brain. It's more of a mindless veg than it is a mindful recharge. And so when we're thinking about the way that we take breaks, maybe you want to ask yourself, like, is this recharging me? Is it actually helping? And ultimately, do I actually like it? So I have a method that I call the future, present, past test to see if you actually like what you're doing, if it actually makes you happy. And if it doesn't, it's not good for motivation. It's not good for recharge. And this test is essentially, think about the future. Do I look forward to this thing? Do you? Do you really? Are you like, oh, I can't wait to scroll Instagram?
Yeah.
No, not usually.
Yeah, not usually, right? And then the present aspect is, can you mindfully enjoy it? As you're doing it, are you really enjoying yourself? Or are you just vegging? Are you avoiding something? Are you escaping? So you want to think, are you really enjoying it in the present? And then the past part is, am I glad that I did that? Do I feel happier now? Do I feel better now? And if you answer no to any of those questions, you need to seriously consider if that thing is making you happy and if it's something that maybe you should just not do in your life, which would save you time and energy for the things that are better.
Yeah, for sure. I've caught myself, you know, on Saturday mornings and realized that it's like an hour past and I'm like watching YouTube stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wait a minute, I need to get up and do something, because to me, I sit down because I want to like relax, and then you have your phone and they're like, okay, maybe I'll just like watch a video real quick, and then time goes by and you wasted an hour or two doing absolutely nothing that essentially brings you no benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that's something that for me personally need to work on, but be like, hey, let's do something else that's not this.
Yeah, and it's something we can all stand to improve. I still have times where I do the same thing. I'm just like, I need a break, so I crash on the couch or watch something.
Yeah.
But what we want to realize is your brain, it has so many different facets that kind of need breaks independently. So the one you described, it kind of sounds like you're just maybe physically tired. You need a physical break. Maybe you need to be sitting down or lying down, but maybe you could be doing something more helpful, more happy, more productive in that time that is still a physical break, right? Like, you can go online and learn something that is actually really valuable. You could work on something for your job. You can, or if you're trying to really take a break, you can just read a book or meditate or be present with the sunrise or whatever it is that can still give you a physical break, but in a more healthy, helpful way. And then the opposite could be true too. Maybe I need a mental break or social break because I'm just burned out from the day. Well, then maybe I can go in my kitchen and start cleaning. I can do dishes, I can prep meals or whatever it is, because those things don't take my mental energy. They don't take my social energy. They just take my physical energy. Mm-hmm. It's helpful to realize you become more aware of what kind of break your brain actually needs and give it that, but you can give it in healthier, more helpful ways.
And that's when probably when you should start. I don't do it, but I probably should, is like schedule, like time management, like schedule in a break. Because again, when it comes back to your time management and you're trying to do everything at once, but again, that's going to exhaust you. So it's, would you advise like actually scheduling in breaks?
Yes, absolutely. So there's a few reasons we want to actually schedule in breaks. It's a variety of reasons. One is because for some people, they don't take breaks otherwise. They work too hard. And if you work for too long, you're actually going to get burned out. Your brain has only a certain amount of cognitive energy, a certain amount of willpower, a certain amount of decision-making capability. And the more you're like on, really trying to do your best, the more you're also building up waste products in your brain. So we really want to make sure we're taking breaks before we start feeling exhausted. Because if you're already exhausted, you've burned yourself out. So scheduling in breaks can help us to make sure we take breaks more frequently so that we can actually stay overall more on, more ready to go instead of getting burned out. And then the other advantages of scheduling breaks is that we can be deliberate about them. We can say, okay, this is the kind of break I think I need at this time, and I'm going to choose to take a break in a really helpful way. Like I'm going to choose to take a break by going for a nice walk and enjoying nature, versus if it's not planned, you might just say, oh, I'm exhausted. What should I do right now? Oh, your brain hooks onto the easiest, most habitual, most low energy thing possible, which is probably just crashing on the couch with your phone.
So many thoughts. So I guess with that thought process, what are there common challenges that you get with your clients that are like, but I don't want to give up scrolling on social media, to try something new, to actually find that rest?
Honestly, that kind of resistance is very rare, because I think people know, at least deep down, this thing doesn't make me happy and I want something else. So the active resistance of, oh, I don't want to change this habit, that actually almost never happens, which is interesting. I didn't even think about that until you asked that question. But one thing that does happen is that people try to make changes and it's very difficult. There's a lot of reasons that can be. One of which is just that rewiring our brain is hard. So if you're changing your behaviors or your habits at all, your brain literally has to physically change, has to change which synapses go where and the strength of those synapses and all these different connections. Your brain basically always wants to just go down the beaten path as much as possible. And so if you're used to just crashing on the couch with your phone, that's what your brain wants to do more than going for a walk, because it's the beaten path. The difficulty is, how can we apply principles of neuroplasticity, which is your brain's ability to change and rewire, how can we apply that to make changing our habits easier? That's where a lot of people struggle. And that's where having a coach or using neuroscience-based programs can be so valuable, because it's all about recognizing the difficulty in your brain changing. A lot of self-help tools and people, they don't really want to admit that it's hard. They don't want to admit that your brain doesn't want to change. But we need to admit it so that we can recognize the reasons why it's hard and address those.
I mean, some things just are not going to be easy.
Right.
There's always going to be some sort of challenge. And it depends on how you react to that. Like, how are you going to overcome that challenge?
It's so important to essentially figure out for ourselves what in our brain is resisting the change. Because it can be so many things. It can be, oh, I actually don't really want this change. Somebody else is forcing it on me. Or it can be overwhelm, lack of clarity. Like, I don't even know what exactly I'm supposed to change. And so I'm not going to change anything because I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Or it can be your brain state. If you're not well rested or hydrated, or if you're stressed out, That's not a good time to make a change. Sometimes it comes down to just remembering. They forget their new habits. We need to work on that. And sometimes there's like subconscious walls. They can be like really shallow walls, so to speak, of just distractions. Like, oh, a notification popped up on my phone and I got distracted. But it can also be a lot deeper walls. Like, oh, I have these psychological negative core beliefs that are holding me back, maybe some traumas that really affect how I show up and make this behavior extremely difficult. And sometimes it's more mental illness or particular brain disorders like ADHD that can really make it a challenge. And then we want to address those. So it's really important to understand for yourself, why is it hard to change this particular thing? And then you can go forth and resolve that bottleneck if you are able to figure out what it is.
The distraction one gets me.
Yeah. Don't worry. That's really true for all of us. Our brains love the little dopamine rush and the distractions and all that.
Notifications 24/7. It jumps. My husband held my phone for like 20 minutes while I was doing, I don't even remember what it was. And he was like, take this thing back. Because it kept buzzing in his pocket. And he was like, I can't do this. Take it back.
Right. Oh, that's great.
Well, I love this. And I feel like we could just talk forever. So I'm already feeling like we will have you back on again to talk about other aspects of like neuroscience and motivation and time management, anything else that we can kind of dream up.
That'd be wonderful.
But how can our listeners connect with you?
Yeah, a few ways. I have social media, but it's very new, honestly. So there's not much there, but you can find me on Instagram and on Facebook at just at Dr. Dan Lathan. Even better would be going to my website where it explains what I do, the coaching that I do, also the new programs that I'm building on 3D interactive online programs. I'm trying to take what I know about neuroscience and make it so that people can essentially work together or just help themselves if you're not a people person and go through these programs that help. You can go through these 3D worlds that take what we know about neuroscience in order to build these absolutely invaluable soft skills like learning and memory and focus and motivation. That's all on my website, which is cortexevolution.com. And that's the best way to find me.
Yeah, that's awesome. This was a great conversation. Listeners, we're going to have Dan back on the show again. We just don't know when, but it will happen because we got more to talk about.
Yes.
Sounds great.
Thank you again, man.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for listening to me blab on about my nerdy brain stuff. I hope it's been helpful for everyone.
Awesome. As always, all the information is going to be in the show notes. Until next time.
Bye.
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 Thanks for tuning in to another episode. Remember, soft skills aren't just some fluffy buzzwords that get thrown around in the corporate world. They're the key to unlocking your full potential as a professional and a human being. Don't be afraid to invest in yourself and seek out opportunities to improve your soft skills. Sarah and I have a variety of workshops, online courses, and complimentary clarity calls for you to practice in real time with us. Links are always in the show notes. And be sure to join us next time for more insights, tips, and tricks to help you succeed in your entrepreneur encounter.